Radio Prague News.
The new cabinet of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek will be appointed on Monday. President Václav Klaus has met the members of the outgoing government to thank them for their work. And according to preliminary police statistics, August saw the lowest number of fatal traffic accidents on Czech roads in the last 36 years. President Václav Klaus has said he will appoint the cabinet of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek on Monday. Civic Democrat chairman and Prime Minister-designate Mirek Topolánek met President Klaus on Friday at Prague Castle and presented to him a list of the members of his minority government. The new cabinet is to have 15 ministers, 9 of them members of the Civic Democratic Party and 6 unaffiliated, and prepare the country for early elections. Owing to an even split between the leftist and rightist parties in the lower house after June's national elections, it is expected to have difficulties receiving a vote of confidence from the chamber. President Klaus has also met the members of the outgoing centre-left coalition cabinet and thanked them for their work. He said that although he did not always agree with the decisions of the government of Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, the relations were always correct. The outgoing cabinet was appointed in April 2005 after Prime Minister Stanislav Gross stepped down following a financial scandal. According to preliminary police statistics, August saw the lowest number of fatal traffic accidents on Czech roads in the last 36 years. The total number of car accidents decreased as well. In both July and August 2006, 72 people died on Czech roads, that is 48 and 30% fewer than last year, respectively. The number of injuries has also dropped compared to previous years. According to the police and experts, the situation is a result of new traffic regulations which came into force last month and introduced tougher punishments for driving offences. The Archbishop of Prague has launched an attack on the American superstar singer Madonna days before her Confessions world tour appearances in Prague, including a controversial mock crucifixion scene. Speaking of the singer as the so-called Madonna, Cardinal Miloslav Vlk said in a statement on Friday that such mega shows were absolutely unacceptable for Christians because they offended the religious sensibilities of believers. Cardinal Vlk added that the American singer tries to make fun of Christian belief and abuses Christianity's main symbol, which is the cross. Madonna is due to perform in Prague on September the 6th and 7th, with tickets for her appearances sold out within 2 hours of going on sale. And finally, a glance at the weather. The weekend should be partly cloudy with occasional showers and daytime temperatures reaching highs of 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Dita Asiru. In today's program, as Jiří Paroubek stands down, we look at the new government of Mirek Topolánek. Sales of organic foods look set to rise hugely. We talk to new Czech football captain Tomáš Rosický and take a look at the latest Czech business and finance news. In this week's edition of The Arts, the new Czech film Beauty and Trouble gets ready to hit world cinemas. Prime Minister-designate Mirek Topolánek has now met with President Václav Klaus and handed him a list of ministers for his minority cabinet. The new government, according to reports, will now be named on Monday. That means, under the constitution, that the new prime minister and his government will have 30 days to ask parliament for a vote of confidence. But what are the chances it will actually pass? Negotiations between Jiří Paroubek's Social Democrats, who came in second in the election, and Mirek Topolánek's right-of-center Civic Democrats, or ODS, who came first, are now at a zero point, and many analysts are suggesting that the rule of Mr. Topolánek's new government, without majority support, will be short. Earlier, Jan Wellinger spoke to political analyst Vladimíra Dvořáková, asking her how she saw the incoming prime minister's options.
He has 30 days to negotiate, to bargain, to discuss with the potential partners, but because of lack of the support in this moment, I don't believe that he's able to do that. One of the reasons is that we are just before the Senate elections and the municipal elections. And in this moment, I think that no one wants to accept any compromise. There is no good time for negotiations and more. I think that the personal attitudes and the polarization of the situation worsen the possibilities for the cabinet.
Now, I understand that there are some loopholes, for example, that can be used to improve the government's chances, one of these being attaching the vote of confidence to legislation.
Well, in fact, I think this is not a possibility. This is a mistake of Mr. Topolánek supposing that he can do it, because he can do it only after his cabinet will get the vote of confidence. He cannot do it before that. This is misunderstanding of the constitution, because the situation is described for the cabinet that has somehow obtained the vote of confidence, but this is not the situation of the cabinet that has not yet gained the vote of confidence.
If the government indeed does not pass, what happens next? It doesn't necessarily mean that they will step down immediately.
They will have to resign, but they will be immediately asked by the president to continue their work till the new cabinet would be formed. And then there is some time for the president to think about the second person to ask to form a new cabinet. It's the question Mr. Perlbeck is mostly thinking that he can be asked, but this is not obligation according to the constitution for the president to ask the leader of the second strongest party. He can maybe ask someone else from the party that gained plurality, that means someone else from ODS. I think that everybody is waiting for the results of the Senate and local elections that will show what are the prospects for particular parties. Maybe after these elections, the ability to find the solution will be formed here.
Political analyst Vladimira Dvořáková on the dilemma faced by the country's incoming cabinet, as well as how upcoming Senate and municipal elections could have future impact. She was speaking there to Jan Wellinger. Organic foodstuffs are expected to make a big breakthrough onto the Czech market in the next 5 years. In 2005, Czechs spent a total of 350 million crowns, or $15.9 million, on organic products. And according to estimates, that number could reach 1.3 billion crowns, or nearly $59 million, by 2011. So what are the challenges for organic producers operating in what is essentially a new market? Linda Maestelier reports.
According to a recent agricultural ministry survey, a mere 3% of Czech consumers regularly buy products with a bio label. On the other end of the scale, nearly 50% of Czechs are not at all familiar with organic products. Most of those polled cite the popularity of traditional brands and the considerably higher prices of organic goods as reasons for staying away from the new organic trend. Still, according to the Green Marketing Agency, run by Tom Václavík, the Czech market could see a growth of up to 40% per year over the next 5 years. As it stands, statistics show that organic products account for less than 1% of total food consumption in the Czech Republic. Facing an essentially virgin market, organic producers and marketing agencies must still convince Czechs that paying more for organic products is a worthwhile investment. Tom Václavík explains how his agency intends to promote organic products in an upcoming campaign.
We will specifically concentrate on young women and women with children, and we will try to convince them that organic food is good for their health, for the health of their children, and it's good for the environment. And we will use media, we will use television, we will use newspapers and magazines with the message.
Since the prices of organic foods in the Czech Republic are currently 40 to 350% higher than those of conventional products, the pro-organic campaign faces a definite challenge. So, are there any successful homegrown companies dealing in organic products in the Czech Republic? Tom Václavík again.
Yes, there are. There are a few. I can speak, for example, about a company that is producing organic beef. They have large farms, and they're putting organic beef meat into most of the Czech supermarket chains. There is a a very successful organic herb tea producer. There are several organic cheese and milk processors and producers, mostly marketing their products locally. There are, of course, a few examples of companies, or better to say, organic farms that are producing organic vegetables and fruits.
And how does the Czech Republic compare to other Central European states when it comes to organic production and consumption?
Czech organic market is probably the most developed. If you look at the retail level, Czech organic food market is definitely the most developed. Polish organic food market is probably bigger, but of course they have almost four times the number of citizens. Compared to Hungary, in Hungary the market is smaller, but their organic processing industry is much more developed because they started much earlier and they have been very good at marketing abroad. But on the other hand, the Hungarian organic producers are exporting 95, maybe even more, products to Western Europe, unless Czech Republic, where most of the local production is spent domestically.
The head of the Green Marketing Agency, Tom Václavík, ending that report by Linda Mastalić. The Czech Republic's footballers begin their campaign to qualify for the 2008 European Championships on Saturday when they take on Wales in the North Bohemian town of Teplice. One of the most famous players in the team is Tomáš Rosický, who recently moved from Germany's Borussia Dortmund to English giants Arsenal. Ahead of the match against Wales, Ian Willoughby spoke to Rosický and asked him how he was settling into life at Arsenal, who, by the way, haven't had a good start to the new season.
Sure, I don't have a single problem there. So everything looks fine. Only I had a small injury. That was the only thing what really bothers me there. But right now it's everything okay. But it's we have to start winning there.
What about accommodation? Are you still living in a hotel or have you found some place to live?
No, I don't have to be in a hotel right now. I'm in one flat from the club, so it's much better than to be in the hotel.
And how about London as a city? Do you like it?
I wasn't there already.
Too busy?
Yeah.
Also, could I ask you, you're here, of course, for two international games, the first one against Wales this Saturday. Next week, then, you have Slovakia. What do you expect against Wales? What kind of opponents do you think they will be?
Yeah, I know that it will be very difficult because I was looking at Wales in the game against Bulgaria. And it will be very tough for us because these quick players like Giggs or Bellamy, it will be not easy for us.
And also the last game, the last Czech game was against Serbia, and it was Pavel Nedved's last game. Without him, do you feel more pressure on you to deliver for the team?
Sure, that will be. It will be more pressure on my person, but it was the same. This is the same as the same situation like for 2 years ago. Nedved hasn't played the whole qualification with us, so that will be nothing new for me.
And Tomáš Rosický really will have to take on extra responsibility. Since that interview was recorded, the 25-year-old has been appointed captain of the Czech football team. And Ian Willoughby has made it to the studio now for the latest business and finance news.
Thanks, Dieter. Average monthly wages in the Czech Republic grew by 6.9% year-on-year in the second quarter of this year. That's according to figures just released. That represents a rise of 3.9% in real wages, with the average monthly salary in the Czech Republic now at almost exactly 20,000 crowns. That's about $900. Analysts in household consumption and boost the growth of the Czech economy. They say there is, as yet, no threat to the economy's competitiveness, but they say increased pressure on inflation is likely.
There was bad news for smokers this week, as the government voted to raise excise duty on tobacco products. The price of a pack will go up by 12 crowns or around 50 US cents from the 1st of January, bringing an estimated 10 billion crowns or some 450 million US dollars into the state coffers. The European Union had been demanding a rise in excise duty, and the move is also part of the Finance Ministry's plan to keep the state budget at the proposed 88 billion crowns next year. But tobacco industry figures say the rise is too steep, while some analysts say Czech smokers may cut down on consumption or switch to cheaper brands.
Conditions have improved markedly for the thousands of Ukrainian workers in the Czech Republic. The country's ambassador to Prague, Ivan Lebeda, said this week. He said his office had been working closely with a number of Czech ministries and that in the last year, 30,000 Ukrainians had been given the opportunity to make their working stay in the Czech Republic legal. Mr. Lebeda said the influence of criminal groups acting as middlemen had been significantly eliminated. He said his embassy had made a lot of enemies, but dignified the position of Ukrainian citizens.
Sales of music downloaded from the internet in the Czech Republic increased by 400% in the first half of this year, the Czech branch of the International Federation of the Phonographic Industry said this week. An IFPI spokesperson said this huge increase went some way to making up for the long-term fall in sales of CDs and cassettes. Overall sales were down 3.2% in the first 6 months of 2006.
And finally, Friday's Czech newspapers are completely dominated by advertisements announcing the name change of mobile phone operator Eurotel to O2. The change is part of Telefonica's purchase of Eurotel's owner, Český Telecom. O2 is also the new sponsor of the Czech Republic's ice hockey team.
This is Radio Prague, where it's time now for the arts.
Welcome to the arts. This week, focusing on Czech film. I'll be looking at a new feature by Jan Hřebejk, while my colleague Jarka Halková in the second half will be looking at an animated movie currently in production.
Kráska dnes nás jich prchá za andělem, neboť ví jistě, že jí.
Music there by the Czech performer Raduza, who performed in the movie Kráska v nesázích, or Beauty in Trouble. That's the latest film by Jan Hřebejk, one of the Czech Republic's most sought-after directors, whose films like Divided We Fall and Up and Down made headlines in the past. Beauty in Trouble, inspired by the Robert Graves poem of the same name, promises to be another success. It's funny, at times tense, and overall is very well acted by some of the Czech Republic's best screen and stage performers. An aging but still very debonair Josef Abraham, the legendary Jana Brejchová, the inimitable Jiří Šmitzer, as well as a cast of younger stars like Anya Geislerová, who especially shines. She is the beauty in trouble mentioned in the film's title, a young mother of two in love with two very different men at the same time. At a recent screening, I was able to ask the actress how she enjoyed the part, as well as acting alongside Abraham, who plays the older man she falls for in the film. In real life, she knew him from way back when she was a little girl, when he voiced her favorite Večerníček. That's the famous animated children's series that still runs on TV today. Here's how Anya Geislerová liked working on Beauty in Trouble.
Well, I enjoyed a lot. I loved the character. She's just so completely different than I am. I was just having fun to work on it, and the dynamic. Well, it worked. It worked. It was fun, and I think we had nice relationship, because he's my idol from my childhood, so I was always making fun of it, like that I'm having a relationship with my Večerníček.
One of the strengths of the film is the director's approach to character, showing different behavior in many different situations. Anya Geislerová again.
I think it's like when you get older, you realize that nothing is just black or white, and that even the whitest white has a shade of black. So I think it's in people, you know, nobody is just good or evil. And I believe that, and we were trying to show this in many situations. Well, I really enjoyed, you know, every scene. I really liked it.
Anya's character, named Marcela, faces decisions often directly at odds with each other. Should she face her responsibilities or enjoy a night out on the town? retreat to her mother's, or face her crumbling marriage head on. Tell her children the truth about their father being a petty car thief or not. And ultimately, choosing between an uncertain hand-to-mouth existence in Prague or living a gorgeous but somewhat sheltered life in Tuscany. It's not as easy a decision as you might think, and the story is full of such dilemmas as well as moral and emotional ambiguities for all the characters. That's something director Jan Hřebejk and his stalwart screenwriter Jarkovský seem to relish.
Věčkává, než se svěří, až sám se optá.
Another impressive character worth mentioning is played by Jiří Šmitzer, the aging stepfather who is really rather despicable, yet somehow grows on you despite his warts, the worst of which are downright cowardliness and hypocrisy. But Šmitzer seemed more than satisfied with the role he played.
Tak já už mám za sebou taky pár takových bez charakterů.
I've played a few dubious characters in the past, but it's true I don't think I had a role quite like this one. I have a feeling it may be a move towards something not that bad at the end of my life. I mean rather the second half of my life.
How good is Beauty in Trouble? It's a small character drama, but it is beautifully shot and features excellent performances. A real pleasure to watch the actors in these skins. Producers have plugged the film as the story of sex, money, and a good man. And it is that. But it is namely the story of a beauty. A little messed up, certainly, but one who in the end finds a solution that is somehow fitting and somehow the best of both worlds. After success at this year's Karlovy Vary Film Festival, Beauty in Trouble will now continue on the festival circuit in North America. And first up is Toronto.
Kráska v nesnázích prchá za andělem, neboť ví jistě, že jí.
Now in the second part of the arts, Jarka Halková looks at a new Czech animated film now being made.
The hero of the very first animated full-length feature Czech film is a goat, a pet belonging to character Kuba, who has come to Prague to try and find a job. Before long, Kuba falls in love and his goat gets rather jealous. The movie is based on fables of old Prague and is going to picture five main protagonists and 70 secondary characters. The movie's director, scriptwriter and animator Jan Tománek has bet the success of his first full-length animated film on the fact that Prague is well known and that the plot of a friendship between an animal and a boy is a timeless and global theme.
It is my film. Compared to work on other animated films, I'm the only director. For example, in Shrek there were four artists, scriptwriters and three directors who produced it. Although it is a great movie, it is noticeable. The character of Shrek is stylized differently than other minor roles that were not done with as much care. If a film has only one director and a small team of people, in our case just 10, it has a much more intimate atmosphere. It is the same with Czech movies such as Kolya, the winner of the Oscar, and many others. Americans would not be able to make a single shot with so few people, but we were able to. They all need 10 assistants, and the result is just the same.
Jan Tománek lives and breathes for his movie, especially after the many difficulties he experienced getting it off the ground. The idea for the movie came to life in 2003 when the EU gave him a grant. He frankly admits that the competition today is much tougher and the conditions, he says, somehow ridiculous. Since the grant is only to cover the movie's pre-production development, Tománek had to look for investors and make them believe in the movie.
It is rather sad that there are so few animated movies being made here. On one hand, people who can do something about it moan that it is so bad. On the other, the same people turn you down when you come with a grant from the EU asking for some more financial support. Well, the Czech Republic is a small pond, and the pond for animated film is even smaller. People who make decisions about grants are usually connected with those who are given one. For example, they are authors of a script for the movie, or have already agreed on future cooperation. It's not objective, and most of all, not independent.
The movie should get to cinemas here in the spring of 2008. Negotiations about possibilities of its screening abroad are already in progress. As Jan Tomanek puts it, it is the only way any film can cover costs. And maybe creators of the second and the third Czech full-length animated movie will be in much better position.
Tady v Čechách je těžký vůbec někoho přesvědčit, že Češi jsou takový, že opravdu nevěří.
It is very difficult to persuade people in the Czech Republic. Czechs don't trust anything unless it comes from the West, or somebody else has done it before. Those who are first are in a very difficult situation. It was just the same with the movie for teenagers, Snowborgáci, or Snowboarders. Nobody believed it would be successful. Now, after the huge success, many similar films are being produced. When a script for the first Czech soap opera was offered to TV Nova, they showed no interest at all. And these days, every single TV channel has 5 or 6 of them.
And that was The Arts with Jan Wellinger and Jarka Halková. My name's Dita Asiedu. We've reached the end of this Radio Prague program, so thanks for joining us. Goodbye and take care.
Prázdnou kašnou na náměstí, na lavičce chleba posvačil, seřídil hodinky na zápěstí a čápy.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.